And we're back, Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. Before we took our break, Jonathan was talking about Imani Gant and O.J. Black. I actually had the chance to speak to Imani Gant's uncle, godfather, I forget exactly who he was, but related to Imani. And one of the things we were talking about is he looks a little more loose out there and is not letting his emotions get to him. And Jonathan brought that up, and you can really see the difference that it made in Imani. And on Saturday, 19 points, 8 rebounds, and a block. And he just had a great game, especially guarding Sean Long, giving up 4 inches on the big man, the walking double-double. He's got to continue that play for the rest of the season, though.
Yeah, definitely. As you know, we harped on this all season. You know, he was the preseason All Sun Belt Conference. He was a first team All Preseason Sun Belt Conference honors, and you expect these types of things from a player of that caliber. And you know, we've talked about, you know, how Ethan Montalvo, KGT, and you know, Ethan OJ Black have come along in the season, but it has to start with Imani, your senior big man. And you know, seeing it, as we said, Ryan, you know, just seeing the maturity level as far as what this past game is concerned with, it has to have at least, you know, good momentum moving forward for the next couple of games.
And so let's move on to OJ Black, one of the better performances he's had all season. He's made strides throughout the season, like you just mentioned. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. Really just had a big overall game for O.J. Black. And it's good, especially when you see Montalvo and Kevin Gilder-Tilbury struggle, that you have a guy that can step up in their absence.
Yeah, which is kind of weird saying, you know, it's good seeing Montalvo and KGT struggle, because, you know, we've expected these things out of KGT. You know, he's almost averaging, you know, double digits throughout the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And then Montalvo, you know, he wasn't on as well. He wasn't on, you know, as it usually is. The Montalvo meter wasn't filled up as far as it should be. But it is weird you say, like, it's good to see them struggle, because that led the way for O.J. Black to step up his game. And, you know, once all four of them are clicking on all four cylinders, then, as you said, like, this team can make some noise going forward.
And not just O.J. Black. The bench added 11 points. A lot of evenly distributed scoring off the bench, which is really important for this team. I mean, I can recall the game against Georgia State. The bench had 0 points. And so they're making a big difference now. Just some of the numbers. KGT, 4 points, 4 fouls. Definitely struggled with fouls all game. Only played 9 minutes in the first half. And then Montalvo, 9 points, 3 for 13 from the floor, 1 for 10 from the three-point line. So the shots were just not falling for him. But like we said, O.J. Black picked up the difference. Now, it was a good win, a big win for Texas State. But as always, I like to be very objective and look at the big picture. And this team still struggles with consistency, and we saw it in the half-to-half performance, at least from the offense. The defense played great in the second half.
And maybe I'm a little off base here. Again, it is late in the season. It's, you know, it is beyond crunch time right now. But let's remember, this is the first time Texas State's ever beat ULL. I mean, that's huge. ULL is the pride of the Sun Belt Conference. They're always one of the best teams, whatever it is. Baseball, basketball, their softball team is amazing. They have fantastic athletics. They really do. Football, we know about that one as well. So for Texas State, to beat a team that is at the top of the Sun Belt Conference right now, again, this is a team that came in scoring over 80 points a game, but just held them to 57. That's a stat that can stand on its own. But to take down a team like that that you've never beaten before, I know it's late in the season. I know Texas State needs a lot of help to get in the Sun Belt Conference tournament, but this could be a game changer. It really could. It could be the spark that gets this team going and lights a fire and says, all right, guys, we cannot lose any more games. We have to play every single night we go out, every minute of the first half or the second half, we have to play our best game whatsoever to get ourselves into that tournament. And then if and when they get in, you can go from there.
Okay, Jason, so what I want to ask you is, that heading into their next away game stand, they got Arkansas State, they have Little Rock, UT Arlington. Without a doubt, tough Sun Belt Conference opponents. With a win such as this, how does that help them? How does that help them build going into the next three games, as far as from a locker room standpoint? Like the mood around the locker room right now?
They can beat the best. Like, they really can. There is no excuse anymore. There is no, you know, you get blown out by ULM. You know, they're just a better team than we are. You know, they got Dang and Coppola on ULM, who are, you know, will most likely get a shot in the NBA somewhere as well. So there's no going back into the locker room and saying, well, they just got more talent than we do, or we just got outplayed, or we just got outcoached. No, none of that. You just beat one of the top teams in the Sun Belt Conference. You saw how to do it. You get your go after their big man, get him in foul trouble, play stunning defense all game, shut down their offensive weapons, get the ball to Imani Gantt so he can score those points. O.J. Black stepped up out of nowhere, as you said, to score some points. There's the recipe for beating the top teams in the Sun Belt Conference. They know how to do it. Now they just have to go out there and execute. But there can't be any excuses anymore.
Definitely. Do you think they have to win all three games, Ryan and Jason?
So I think the way I was looking at it, they needed to win three games as of Saturday before the UL Lafayette game. And the UL Lafayette game, you know, you might have chalked it up as a loss if you were predicting it. The game against Troy and South Alabama and Arkansas State are really the ones you thought the Bobcats had a good chance of winning. So if it kind of gives them an extra win, quote-unquote, and it puts them in better position to ultimately have that chance to make the Sun Belt Conference tournament. But I look at that road trip. Arkansas State, you already beat them at home, and that's a team that's really skidding right now on a five-game losing streak, I believe. And they were at once the third-best team in the Sun Belt Conference. Little Rock, you had them in your clutches, and then if not for two big shots by Josh Hagans, you lost in overtime to that team. It's a big revenge game on the road. And then UTA, that's a team that came in here and put the whooping on the Bobcats, and they definitely want revenge for that as well. That's definitely going to be a tough one. But you already know you can play with Little Rock, and you've played so well in spurts this season. Like you said, Jason, no more excuses, and we know exactly what this team can do. And then, like I said, games against Troy, South Alabama at home, those are the more must-win games, and they need to steal one on the road this weekend.
Yeah, So the upcoming games, again, Little Rock leading the Sun Belt Conference right now. UTA is a very good team. Yeah, you've got to get at least one of these to put yourself in position to take on, like you said, the South Alabama's and the Troy, which are two teams that are near the bottom of the Sun Belt Conference. Troy 4-12, South Alabama 7-9. Really, you're looking at South Alabama. You got to knock them off. You got to hope they win so they slide down a couple of slots. Texas State can slide up as well. You got to beat Troy as well, even though, you know, they're on the outside looking in like Texas State is. They're still fighting. They're still clawing for that final spot. But it all starts. You are right. It all starts this weekend on the road. They've got to get one, and I'd love it if they get two. You know, but can't get swept on the road this weekend. Just can't.
And that Arkansas State game, them and South Alabama are the two teams that are right above Texas State. And a win against each of those teams really just swings the standings, and it would be huge.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're talking about these three teams on the road trip, but honestly, my concern is with those final two games because, you know, a win will be needed against South Alabama, but a team such as Troy who's on the outside looking in, you know, they're not fighting for anything while Texas State is, but as we've seen throughout sports, it's games such as those that can completely just crush a team and crush their will and just, you know, completely throw off their whole picture because it's just one of those teams that you kind of just let go under the radar, and then before you know it, they come and, you know, you might be looking at a loss, hopefully not, but you might be looking at something that you weren't expecting and that just, you know, completely deviates you from your end goal season.
And so just a thing that I noticed about the UL Lafayette game, it didn't look like a typical Texas State game. They lost the foul battle, you know, like I said, Lafayette at the line 30 times, only made 17, and they were -5 in turnovers. This is one of the best turnover margin teams in the country, and those are definitely some positives you got to take away from the win. You didn't play like the team that you typically do, and you still come away with the victory against one of the better teams in the Sun Belt Conference. But Jason, I see you looking at the Twitter. Already got a poll up with some results. Can you first give us the question and then let it know how it stands?
All right, got a poll up right now. Go on again. It's at KTSW Sports on Twitter. There's a lot of big wins over the weekend for the Bobcats. We're talking about the ULL for men's basketball. Baseball started hot. So did softball. They continue their run. Softball's just going nuts right now. It's ridiculous. So I'm asking, what was the biggest win, wins of the weekend for the Bobcats? The men's basketball win versus ULL, the baseball team starting 3-0, or the softball team starting 9-2 on the season so far? Got a lot of votes going on right now. Baseball starting 3-0 is leading the way, but men's basketball right behind it, and softball at the 9-2 start as well. Again, at KTSW Sports, get out there and vote. What was the biggest win for the Bobcats this weekend?
And I think that's a good place to transition. Me personally, I think it's the UL Lafayette win, just because of how much hope it gives this team, and it could be a big turning point in the season. Softball, I'd have to put softball second just because that's the best start in school history. And then baseball, it's just the beginning of the season. It's hard to – it doesn't have as much impact as a game like the UL Lafayette win. What about you guys?
Honestly, I'm sorry, Jason, I'm going to cut you off right there. But to me, being here for the past 4 years, I'm just happy there was a weekend full of wins for the athletics department all across the board. So in my personal opinion, I do not have – a personal favorite. You know, I just enjoy seeing that the basketball team got the win, the baseball team started off 3-0, and softball's up to their greatest start in school history.
Okay, if I'm looking at this objectively.
Please do.
It's the men's basketball win, because it's the first time they ever beat ULL, and that is we've been smacked around by ULL too many times. Anytime we could beat those guys from Louisiana, love it. Myself? I'm a huge softball fan. I love our softball team. I love going out and watching those girls play softball. And for them to come out hot and start at 9-2, best start in Texas State history, that's phenomenal, baby. That's telling me this team came to play all season. Anybody wants to come down to San Marcos Bobcat Ballpark to play us in softball, bring it. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you're ranked. The Bobcats will give you a fight, no doubt about it. And personally, I think this team is headed for the rankings as well in the NCAA. They were already getting votes a little bit earlier on. They're only getting better now. Maybe not this week, maybe not next week, but they will continue this war path that they are on right now and eventually make themselves not only the top of the Sun Belt Conference, but recognized in the NCAA as well.
So that gives us a good spot to transition. Let's move to the diamond, not talking about the softball team yet, but the baseball team. The season's in full swing, no pun intended. Maybe it was. But they came out swinging, again, no pun intended, against Wazoo. And they came out 6-2 in the opening night to win. Lucas Humpel looked great. And the freshmen looked great, too. We're going to get into them in a little bit. But overall, on the weekend so far, they're outscoring Washington State 23-9. And the offense batting 305 for the weekend, that's definitely a good sign.
And we'll definitely want to dive into it in a little bit, but it's not who we expected technically to be doing this. There are freshmen out there. If you don't know who Jonathan Ortega is yet, you're going to know here in the next couple of weeks. If you don't know who Nick Perez is, you're going to know here in the next couple of weeks. The freshmen have stepped up. They're not only starting at key positions for the Bobcats, but they're hitting at the top of the lineup, and they're hitting well at the top of the lineup. We know guys that have done it for the past couple of seasons now, Granger Studdard, Tanner Hill, those are your key guys that you're looking at. But even a guy like Jalen Hubbard, you know, who got a little bit of playing time here and there, fought through some injuries, now was starting. He's hitting the ball extremely well. He's playing extremely good defense for the Bobcats. So they're getting it from everywhere. They're not just having to rely on, you know, old faithful Tanner here. And I say old faithful like I'm the old guy around here. But the guys that you expected to do it, they're doing it. But other guys stepping up as well, that's just scary.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the other guys doing it angle, Jason, because, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and check the archives. 3 weeks ago, I called it the name that you need to look up for in Texas State baseball. I said Cody Lovejoy. Cody Lovejoy dominated this past weekend. 385 average. That's over five. He leads the team in hits right now with five. Five RBIs. Slugging percentage of .692, which is somewhat ridiculous. And then just, you know, fielding percentage is 1,000%, playing out there, anchoring down the outfield. And as you said, Jason, you know, it's players you don't expect that are the ones at the forefront right now. But, you know, it's awesome to see someone such as Cody Lovejoy completely just, the redshirt senior, just completely dominated this past weekend.
And the top of the lineup, as far as batting, they just look great. They really do. How much confidence do you think it gives a team where you send the first four or five guys up there and they really produce for your team, put them in good position to get runs or score runs, and then you're already set up for when you get to the weaker hitters?
Well, it's not only confidence for the Bobcats, it's confidence for the hitters as well. As you had Jonathan Ortega hitting at the top of the lineup, leading off for the Bobcats, is a freshman. Like, just came in, still, like, I was talking with Bill, I had the call yesterday, and it was just... is still training extremely well. He's still getting used to like being in college, you know. Again, this is like an 18-year-old kid that, to take nothing away from his talent, I mean, he is extremely talented, but still getting adjusted to playing, you know, D1 baseball here, and to come in right away against a team, a Pac-12 team, like Washington State, who is, you know, not a super powerhouse, but if you're in the Pac-12, you got to be good at quite a few things. So it's great for the Bobcats to realize, whoa, we've got a freshman that can play here. But I think it's even better for Ortega himself to show up and be like, well, okay, not that I have everything figured out already, but I am not intimidated by D1 pitching. I am not intimidated by Pac-12 pitching. I can come here. I can play for the big boys.
Yeah, definitely. And you can play against the big boys. And, you know, as we stated earlier, you know, it's early in the baseball season. You can't take too much away from this. It's just, you know, it's good to see the potential. But now coming up in the schedule, I'm not trying, you know, look past tonight's Washington State baseball game. But the meat of the non-conference opponents are coming up. You're going to have Rice, Michigan State, UCF, A&M Corpus Christi, and then you're going to have Texas. And by the way, all those four games mentioned are going to be away, and they're going to come back to play the University of Texas. That's where I want to see how those freshmen flourish. That's where I want to see who's going to be the people that you can count on come the rest of the season, whether it's going to be, you know, someone such as Jonathan Ortega or Nick Perez, or whether it's going to, you know, Granger Stutter is going to be the guy to come up. But that's where I'm looking forward to see who's going to be the men on the Texas State baseball team that are going to be the ones whose name we're going to have to consider on a daily basis.
And the road trip, I'm looking at the same thing to see if exactly how the freshmen do perform in the road trip. Because, you know, it's different when you're playing at home. You get to sleep in your same bed going into the next game, as opposed to they're going to hit the road in the middle of the week, head up to Houston against Rice, and then go down to Corpus Christi to take on the Corpus Christi Islanders. But Jonathan Ortega, and he's got a home run that we're going to play sound from here in a little bit, but the freshman really making an impact on the season so far, batting .364, already four RBIs, a double and a home run, but he also leads the team in slugging percentage at .727. And that, it's just unbelievable, a freshman coming here, batting top of the lineup. It's not like someone got a hit before him to give him a little bit of confidence to know that this pitcher he's facing isn't unbeatable. But let's take a listen, because Jonathan Ortega, first at-bat of his college career, gets a home run. And here's Bill with the call.
And the 1-0 pitch, swung on, fly ball, left field. It's got some pop. Has a chance. It's gone! Home run, starting 2016. Welcome to college baseball, Jonathan Ortega.
He didn't even give me a chance to talk about welcome to college baseball. Here's Ian Hamilton. Let me take him out of the park. My goodness. Welcome to Texas State. What an at-bat.
It was a ball up in the zone. Ortega, I beg your pardon, got everybody pumped up. He turned on it, and it ended up in the netting above the wall in left field, and that put a charge into the maroon and gold faithful here at Bobcat Ballpark. Folks looking at each other as if to say, who's that guy?
And he's just one of the freshmen making an impact. We're up against the bottom of the hour break. I want to talk about some of the freshmen afterwards and talk about the pitching as well, because that's something we really haven't addressed yet.